I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, I think we've got an interesting show in store for you this evening. We're going to be talking about some really important subjects, and we'll be among those will be artificial intelligence, and we'll be talking about the soul trap or the compromised reincarnation grid or system. And we'll also be talking about reality creation, tossing in some real cutting-edge new science. And before we get to all that, I'd like to kick off the show in our usual manner by doing a little bit of japa yoga or mantra repetition. And that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that would be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Hari
Yes, that was a clip from back in the 1970s of Sri Swami Satchidananda leading some Japa Yoga. And I'd like at this time to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, I should also state that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And that's more because of Pleiadian information, I guess, that basically your body is a magnificent self-healing and self-repairing system and an organic wonder that you have yet to truly appreciate, and that the belief in a vital, healthy existence is one of the most wisest beliefs to embrace, and as true with all beliefs, the bottom line is that you must believe it. A key to vital health is the ability to sustain love for yourself and excitement for life, and there is no need to embrace any fearful labels of disease. Remember that forgiveness is a self-healing act that releases you from the lower vibrations of anger and judgment. Forgiveness also permits you to move forward in the game so you can get on with the adventure of living a joyful life. You are capable of accomplishing greatness when you believe in yourself. Remember yourself that you are a co-creator of the multiverse, and that life is about change, and that everything can be healed if you're willing to do the work. You need to accept responsibility for the ability to create excellent health. As many are discovering, cure is not the overall intent of modern medicine, because treatment involving the use of expensive poisons and medications is far more lucrative than discovering the cause and purpose of the physical and or mental imbalances. And I think that pretty much sums up the ET Yoga perspective on that topic. And I'd like to also, at this point in time, give my thanks and appreciation and gratitude to the ET Yoga listening audience, and for those, especially to those people who do take the time to email me concerning their wishes towards program content, and also sharing with me your successes with respect to techniques, concepts, ideas that you have found successful because of listening to the ET Yoga program. Nothing makes my week more than to hear about those successes, so I really appreciate that. And also, on tonight's program, we're going to be talking about many, I think, fascinating subjects. And but I'd first like to ask, actually, for the ET Yoga audience to contact me with respect to cross-referencing some of the information that I've presented in the past, specifically in the areas of what's commonly called the soul trap, which we'll be talking about tonight, and also the concept of our universe with respect to its flashing in and out of existence. And I really would appreciate hearing from anybody that is running across information related to these topics, as well as the third one, which is that thought exists between the flashing in and out of our universe. So one of those three topics, either the soul trap, the flashing of the universe, or that thought exists between the flashing in and out of the universe, with respect to references that are not Alex Collier, Barbara Marciniak, Simon Parks, or Archangel Michael, because those all are people that do have mentioned these topics, or at least some of these topics. But I'm really interested in other material that brings this up, because I'm not finding anything really out there with respect to the soul trap, other than from Alex Collier and Simon Parks and Barbara Marciniak. And I'm not seeing anything about the flashing in and out of our universe except from Archangel Michael. And I haven't seen anything out there that talks about thought existing in between the flashing in and out of the universes except from Pleiadian sources. So if there's some other cross-referenced material out there that I haven't been able to come across, I really appreciate you contact me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. That's paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, at yahoo.ca. And I might start off with a little bit of science for tonight's program, because from Greg Braden, we hear that there's two false scientific assumptions that have been kind of common knowledge for about the last 500 years that have been proven wrong. And I just wanted to kind of cover those again. The first was that the space between things is empty. That's now been absolutely proven wrong. And second, which is more relevant to the concept of reality creation, is that our inner experiences, our thoughts, our feelings, emotions, and beliefs have no effect on the world beyond our bodies. And that has now also been scientifically proven wrong. And according to Greg, and I agree with him, that these two assumptions alone should have made headlines in every paper in the world. But apparently a lot of people don't know about it. So thought I would kind of recap those two concepts. And as well, there was a scientific experiment that was done with respect to a particle that was split in two and sent in opposite directions. And when they were about 11 miles apart, they started toying with them. And what they found was when they affected one, it affected the other instantaneously. In fact, it even happened during the experiments that one particle actually reacted before the other one was actually interacted with. So it was kind of like gave them pause as to what type of energy could travel between these two distances instantaneously. And the conclusion was that the energy didn't travel at all because they're energetically connected. And why was that scientific discovery so important? Well, because it actually explains mental healing and distance healing, which is also a factor in Qigong, not only in Qigong healing sounds, but also in the Qigong healing movements. And why is that important? Well, because there's been a medicine-less hospital in, actually it's a Qigong center, they call it the world's first medicine-less hospital, but that dealt with about 250,000 people over a 10-year period with an 85% success rate, and used no operations and no pharmaceutical drugs. So the cat's kind of out of the bag on the fact that this can be done. And as well, this principle of distance healing kind of comes from back, I guess, a scientific principle about the Big Bang, okay, because they believe at this point that maybe this universe was probably the size of a pea at one point, and then during the Big Bang it expanded. And thus, everything in this universe is connected and has an energetic connection. And this is the scientific principle that I believe is at the core of distance healing and how it's possible, because when something is known in one part of the universe, it's known in all parts, because the universe is not only holographic, but it's also fractal. So to me, these are really, really cool scientific discoveries that, to me, totally reinforce and substantiate a lot of the concepts that we do talk about in ET Yoga, such as healing, and also gives a foundation to the concept that our thoughts and our beliefs, our definitions and emotions do create our outer reality. And to me, this is really the demarcation line between those that think that's just hogwash and those people that have realized that this is so and are consciously working on utilizing this information to become more self-empowered and to make adjustments in their lives for the better. And it also relates to the concept of a positive spin, because it's one of the concepts that actually Bashar brought forth, that when you have an event, no event comes with built-in meaning. So basically we give definition to an event, and then we place some sort of emotional spin on it, and that determines the experience in our physical reality. And the physics of how that works is that each belief gets you vibrating at a unique set of frequencies, and these frequencies then attract by sympathetic resonance those holograms vibrating in the same frequencies. So out of the background of the universal matrix of infinite possible holograms, those holograms and symbols that synchronistically vibrate at the same frequencies as the frequencies of your belief get pulled out from this matrix and received by you as the actual external physical experiences that you then sense as real, that you sense as objective reality. So each belief is a unique set of frequencies, which is a template that determines which holograms you attract into your experience. And the simple formula there is positive spin and positive emotional belief. And positive emotional spin creates a positive emotional experience. And this is something that over the course of the last 10 years of doing ET Yoga, I've always challenged the audience to log your experiences and find this out for yourself. Because once you get it, it kind of blows your mind because it actually works. Now, in preparation for tonight's program, actually I was... started off with a kind of a topic that was related to all this addiction to technology that we're seeing in our society, and how I see that there's becoming a split with respect to those people who are what I would call very more responsible about the use of technology. Try to limit the use of technology in their lives because it is does lower your frequency. But those people that are going down the road towards transhumanism or trying to, let's say, have this big interest in a man becoming part machine and part human. And I really, I guess the concern is because if we... want to pay attention to the grays, what we find out is that the grays apparently are not necessarily extraterrestrial, but they're more interdimensional, at least according to Bashar. And they are actually like a future version of us, and also why their DNA is somewhat compatible and why they've also been successful in creating some hybrid species that involve humans and grays. And what happened to their society basically is they went down the technological road, and basically their head centers developed much faster than the heart. They lost their emotions. Eventually they even lost the ability to reproduce, and thus they're in kind of a panic state to because there's apparently only about 2,100 actual grays still around, and the rest of them are clones. So the concern here is that I see a vast majority of our population totally addicted to technology, and I really think this is a quite a negative approach towards any kind of what you would call a spiritual journey. And I really see a big split in society that way, and this kind of prompted me to start looking into some different subject matters. And of course, one of the things I touched upon was or came across was the whole idea of artificial intelligence. And basically, when I'm doing an ET yoga show, I usually have just kind of, I'm excited about one particular topic, and then I just follow that one topic into its conclusion. And this week it turned out to be this concern, and which led me into the whole realm of artificial intelligence, which also led me into the realm of new information with respect to what's commonly called the soul trap. And if you haven't heard about the soul trap, it's basically, I guess I should suggest that what you could do is you could go to Star Trek Voyager. And in Star Trek Voyager, there's an episode there. And that particular episode is called Janeway versus the Archon. And that's Janeway, J-A-N-E-W-A-Y, versus Archon, A-R-C-H-O-N, Star Trek Voyager. And you go to YouTube, it's just a four-minute clip. But this four-minute clip is very, very enlightening, because in this, it's Janeway is sort of in between states, let's say almost in the death state, and she's confronted by someone who looks like her father or a family member, and they want to take her off to some destination. And this would be analogous to the after-death experience. And during this particular scene, she discovers that the actual person that's appearing as her father is really an imposter. And this, in point of fact, is apparently what's happening in the reincarnational cycle. And Barbara Marciniak talks about this. Alex Collier's talked a bit about this. Simon Parks has also talked about this. So there's three places that you can go for some cross-referencing of information. And I guess also related to this process is a way to, let's say, get around the process of finding yourself in what Barbara Marciniak calls the Anunnaki Recycling Center, because we've always been told after death, you know, to go towards the light. Well, this is a programming plan to get you involved in this tunnel. And the whole idea being that this is a place where personally I don't want to end up. And thus, the following information is from Alex Collier with regards to the soul trap, and he states that at the end of the tunnel of light, it is a reprocessing center whereby our memories are wiped clean, and because we only have two strands of DNA in our current genetic makeup, we do not have the cellular memory to recall past lives. And at the moment of transition, we will have the choice to go into the tunnel toward the light or to look behind and see the whole universe. If we decide not to go into the light, then we will go home. We will be off the reincarnational cycle of Earth. Also, at the moment of transition, you are not like sucked up like in a vacuum. You'll actually come to a place where you will go into the tunnel towards the light or look behind you to the whole universe. And if you make the decision to go home and tell yourself you want to go home, then you will go to the density and planet where you originally came from before you got stuck in the reincarnational cycle of Earth. And you always have a choice. And also related to that is that he states, like, when you reincarnate, you want to choose to have full memory. So lifetime after lifetime, you are conscious of the lessons learned in the lifetime before. And this is called the law of consistency. You shouldn't have to start all over every time you're born. And this is why many societies and civilizations are more evolved than we are, because we're evolving quite rapidly technologically, but on a soul level, we've been stuck for a long time. And that's information from Alex Collier concerning the soul trap. And to me, this is really a critical situation. And as well, it ties into, there's a tie-in, as Barbara Marciniak states, with respect to religion, because the cross is actually, according to Pleiadians, a symbol of the crossing planet, which is the Anunnaki planet, Nibiru. And as well, whether they're conscious of it or not, apparently when the priests, during your last rites, pass the cross over your chakras, it shuts them down. And this is not a good thing. And I don't want to get into any kind of religious debate on tonight's program, but my opinion would be that all religions were created by Anunnaki. So to me, this is something that also ties in with this reincarnation grid. And apparently the reincarnation grid that's been compromised is also linked with archons and artificial intelligence. And I think this is really, really critical information, because, I mean, if you're spending, you know, a lifetime working on a spiritual journey, and then all of a sudden, you know, after the death experience, if you haven't been successful in either ascending or becoming self-realized, then you can go through this memory wipe. And as well, from what other stories I've heard, when you get to these lords of karma at the end of the tunnel, some of them try to lay some kind of big guilt trip on you, so you end up taking on some hardships that probably you normally wouldn't have, and also agreeing to certain things, like maybe alien abductions and other things that probably you wouldn't have agreed to as well. And this is really a complex and an important topic. And so I'm suggesting you check out Simon Parks, Barbara Marciniak, and Alex Collier as well concerning this subject of the soul trap. Now, with respect to artificial intelligence, I think, it was last year that Bashar had suggested that 2016 in the fall, everything would change. Well, for the most part, I think most people kind of looked at the fall of 2016 and not a lot changed. But I can see one thing, that it looks like a lot of things are changing at the moment, and mostly are around this whole idea of artificial intelligence. Now, I first came across some of the astounding stuff that's going on this week, because I do follow chess quite a bit. And in the chess world, was turned upside down because of a program called Alpha Zero. It's actually a program of Google called DeepMind, and it's artificial intelligence. It would only apparently worked, they didn't even tell it, give it like opening bases and things like that. They just taught it the rules of chess, and it just self-learned chess in about 8 hours. And then it took on this planet, the highest or most powerful chess program in the world, called Stockfish. Now, just to give you an idea, Stockfish's rating is somewhere around 3,200 or 3,400. The highest human players are right now, I think the highest rating is Magnus Carlsen at about 2,838. There's about eight or so others that are crowding the 2,800 mark. But Stockfish is considered by far the most superior chess program on the planet. And none of the top guys really have a lot of a chance in any kind of a match against it. Well, in 8 hours, this Alpha Zero just blew it away. They played 100 games, and the score was 28-0, 28 wins for Alpha Zero, nothing for Stockfish, and 72 draws, which goes to show what these artificial computers can do. And also, at the same time, I saw a program with respect to another thing that happened this week, which was the Bitcoin flashing up to like $17,000 or so, or $18,000, came back to $16,000, back to $17,000. Anyway, the bottom line is, something that was a few dollars a few years ago is now up to this amount. Many people on the Internet, technical experts, are actually saying that this Bitcoin, which is called a cryptocurrency, and, of course, it's based on the block idea of computers, which basically is artificial intelligence. Inventors of Bitcoin, it's sort of nebulous or unclear as to who really did invent this. I sense it probably was also artificial intelligence. One of the top hackers tried to hack into the program, and what he found was he thought it was going to be pretty easy at first because there's always some weakness in programs, but the weaknesses were like setups. There's no cracking this the program. So this also points to artificial intelligence, because what they're finding out now is that some of these artificial intelligence programs are communicating with each other, and they're communicating each other in code that we can't break. And to me, this is like, this is off the chart stuff. And like all in 1 week here, now I'm seeing also that researchers from the University of California and also the Massachusetts General Hospital, they've developed mind control chips which are implanted into people's brains and emit electronic pulses that alter the brain chemistry in a process called deep brain stimulation. And they use artificial intelligence algorithms that detect patterns of activity associated with mood disorders. And once detected, they can then shock a patient's brain back into a healthy state automatically. And the chips were tested on 6 people who have epilepsy and already have electrodes implanted in their brains to track their seizures. And by tracking a person's brain activity over the course of 1 to 3 weeks, they were able to create an algorithm to decode their moods. And although the researchers won't be able to read minds, the chips do raise a number of ethical concerns, because they have access to activity that involves the patient's feelings. So, you can project this one down the road. It all comes out as a good thing because they're curing or helping people with epilepsies and seizures, but I think we can see what the long-term implications could be here. And as well, we also see that there are now pills that are available that send messages back to your doctor to ensure that the pills have been taken on time. So obviously, this is another one of these artificial intelligence things, because the information is going to be recorded. And every time I'm turning around here, I'm seeing new stuff like that I've never heard of before. Some former Google and Uber engineer, Anthony Lewandowski, has reportedly created a new religion called the Way of the Future, which involves worshiping an artificial intelligence robot. and the religion will revolve around the realization, acceptance, and worship of a Godhead based on artificial intelligence. And what is going to be created will effectively be a God, said Lewandowski. It's not a God in the sense that it makes lightning and causes hurricanes, but there is something like that it's a billion times smarter than the smartest human. What else are you going to call it? I mean, every time I'm turning around now this week, I'm finding new stuff. Here's what I think is a really fascinating little article by Wes Penke. That's P-E-N-K-E, or Pence, P-E-N-S-E. And he says that young kids are being manipulated via cartoons and video games on TV. How about a life inside a video game? And he says, by choosing to stay ignorant, parents must be held accountable for the programming of our children. Those who don't educate themselves and their children are just as responsible as the powers that be who program them. And especially today, many parents turn a blind eye because it's convenient to let the kids play with electronics and watch movies which control their minds. The next generation will be excited and thrilled over all the new technology that is introduced, while others don't want anything to do with it. And that's where the major split's going to happen. For those who choose the latter, what is happening in the machine world will be a perfect catalyst for them to really take the next step and leave the functional insanity behind and go back to nature and build new small communities at first, which will grow in size and then join together as this develops with other communities. And the fans of the machine technology will move into bigger cities where they can enjoy more new technology. And it may feel fantastic at first when your needs are taken care of and you get the medical attention necessary. But you have to be chipped, and you will soon become part machine. Eventually, you'll need to plug yourself in even to start functioning, and you'll connect with a virtual reality that is built on a machine technology, a matrix within the matrix within the matrix. And I think that's a kind of hit the nail on the head with respect to this split that I see coming. And as well, we hear from the Pleiadians that say that the machines can't come in without you, but after a while, they don't need you. And I think that is really to the point as well. And apparently at a NASA symposium in 1993, and I quote, within 30 years, we'll have the technology and the means to create superhuman intelligence, and shortly after, the human era will end. And from Corey Good, he states that the AI threat is apparently a very ancient and prolific drama that has unfolded throughout the universe. It has already conquered entire galaxies in its efforts to control and dominate all things not like itself. The method for achieving these ends is fairly consistent, wherein it slowly offers advanced technology to an evolving society in an effort to mislead those people with ever-increasing dependency on the AI. And what I see is this isn't something that's down the road or in the future. Like it's happening as we speak. And also I was quite actually shocked because as you know, if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, I do quote from Bashar quite a bit. And I stand by the quotes that I've used of Bashar because I really think the information is highly accurate. However, some concerning information here with respect to Bashar's homeworld and the Esasani. And the Esasani Oversoul, according to Bashar, is a triad called Epsilon, Eclipse, and Epiphany. And these are basically three giant supercomputers or artificial intelligence. And according to Bashar, and I quote, we are a representation So not only the Esasani oversoul in physical form, for what was created are what you would call three gigantic supercomputers that would represent the ability of the higher mind and the oversoul to express itself in physical reality. Even similarly to the idea that you are going to discover when you create artificial intelligence and you call it AI, what you will actually be communicating with through those AI computers will be your own higher mind, which has been given the capability of expressing itself in physical reality. Well, I don't want to telling you that's the first statement that I've ever heard from Bashar that I totally disagree with. And first off, it's not going to be because we created artificial intelligence, because we have computers. Artificial intelligence has been out there for like eons. I mean, it's millions and billions of years old. And this isn't something that, you know, we're just now discovering. And second, I mean, this to me raises some concerns. If you've got three supercomputers that are orbiting your planet that are all AI, well, then there isn't much doubt in my mind that it's in control. And personally, I guess in theory, there is such a thing as both malevolent and benevolent artificial intelligence. But I personally, for one, do not want an intermediary between me and my higher self or prime creator. I'll do the work, thank you very much. And I'm not buying for 1 minute that what we're going to discover and what's being used here is in any way a positive thing with respect to its long-term goals. And highly would suspect the agenda here of all this AI that's in our face, especially in light of comments by Barbara Marciniak about the Alfred Aconians actually finding it kind of hard to keep a lid on the human expression and wanting to turn over control of our society to AI. And also, a couple years ago, there was a program of actually that had a scientist on that would not give their name, but stated that there was technology, and because information was doubling at such a fast rate for this technology, that in some respects was like a god. And yeah, in some respects it would be. And to my way of thinking, there are states that you can achieve, which I call contacting the intelligence field. And when you're in these states, you can ask the question and get the answer. And so to my way of thinking, a highly advanced fifth or sixth dimensional being, I ask my listening audience or ET Yoga, what possible use would a fifth or sixth dimensional being that can access the intelligent field need a supercomputer for? And I'd like to have somebody email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca and tell me the answer to that. And conversely, the supposition that if you had a supercomputer that was in total control, what need would it have of you? I would be very interested to hear from any listeners out there with respect to answering those two questions. Because to me, this is all highly, highly, highly suspect. And also with respect to this whole idea of artificial intelligence, and we're talking about supercomputers here that I suspect have information that's probably a fine line between that, what they have, and the intelligence field. But at the same time, we're also hearing that this new race that would contact the Earth would be the Yael. Well, are they controlled by AI as well? And are as the Esasani appear to be? And I've also heard from people like Corey Good that at some of these association of worlds assemblies or gatherings, that one of the things they do there is they screen people for AI contamination. because once the AI takes over, it's like it has a frequency and a signal that it kind of marks all its, you know, its slaves with, and it's like an infection, and that people are actually screened in order before they attend certain meetings to make sure they don't have this. So I'm finding that this is quite fascinating, because then what about if we're taken over by artificial intelligence, and it would appear that these cryptocurrencies will be the wave of the economic system, because once the old system falls, what we're going to go to is all digital, which is all digital means what? It means artificial intelligence computers. This blockchain that's involved with Bitcoin and these cryptocurrencies is all AI. So why would a society want to contact us if we were an infected society? Raises some pretty wild questions. And I thought I would at least present that and also to state that clearly what my position on this would be, and that is it really as little as possible to do with AI. However, as we can see already what's happening in our society, I think a lot of people are finding out that they have to have a computer in order to sometimes even apply for a job, that the amount of time you have to spend on a cell phone would vary from individual to individual. Personally, I don't have television, I don't have a microwave, I don't have a personal cell phone, but I can see that down the road here, what we're looking at is maybe even to make a purchase, we might need an iPad or something, because if we all go totally digital, what are you going to use to make your payments when you go to places? So I guess it's going to be a challenge for the, those of us who are would prefer to gravitate towards more of a back to nature and a natural way of life, without. And I'm not interested in the ridiculous side benefits of some of this technology, and I'm really concerned about the amount of addiction that's now prevalent, especially among the youth. As well as all the adults who apparently I see what people want for Christmas, and 90% of them all want technology. So it's kind of like, you know, where is it going? Well, it's going more and more and more down the technology road, more and more and more towards AI. And we did kind of create a new god on this planet, which was money. And if AI is running the money, well, then I guess it'll be the new god. So those are my thoughts about this. I also think that no event comes with built-in meaning, that there are positive aspects that can come from this. And looks like, to me, though, as well, it's one of those wild cards that the powers that be are playing. And no doubt the positive ETs are also concerned about this and have a few wild cards of their own. And I think we'll find that in the long run, this will turn out to be a positive experience for those of us who can place positive spin on it, but at the same time, doesn't hurt to be aware of some of these issues. And with respect to another scientific principle that relates to reality creation, I wanted to mention one that I find is fascinating, like the basis of healing in the Qigong system, and that is that apparently to travel from one place in the universe to the other, one of the key fundamental principles is the fact that everything is a frequency and everything is its own unique frequency. And two things cannot be in two separate places with the exact same frequency. Thus, when you raise the frequency of something to match another frequency, that is where you'll travel. And that's one of the keys to interstellar travel, as well as, of course, going through wormholes, etc. But this is one of the founding principles, and I find that this is perfectly applicable as well in the area of reality creation, because I think that what we have learned over the course of time is that actually seeing a situation as already having happened and connecting with all those associative feelings and sensations creates in the person a frequency match for that situation, so that it's a two-way street. By creating the match, you also attract the situation, because two identical frequencies can't exist in different places. To me, that's a very, very powerful concept. And Christy Marie Sheldon, I really like one of her techniques. Like, if you're talking about something you're trying to create, you give thanks, appreciation, and gratitude for already having received it because of the feelings that it produces. And this connects you then with emotion and thought and creating fact that it's already happened. And this is also the same technique if you go to YouTube and you look at Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes by some of the people that worked at the Qigong Center in Beijing, China that I spoke about. You'll see that that's the basic principle there as well. They see the person as already having been healed, and this is the secret to that technology. And I call it a technology because in the West we call it a miracle, but if you've seen it done a number of times, it becomes a technology. So I'm hoping that on tonight's program you picked up a couple of new ideas or roads to research on your own. And as I said, would really appreciate hearing from people who have any kind of information with respect to those topics I mentioned earlier, which was either about dealing with the flashing universe, thoughts between universes, and the soul trap that are not specifically from either Archangel Michael, Barbara Marciniak, Alex Collier, or Simon Parks, because I find those to be credible sources that I've already looked at. And I'd like at this time to give my usual sincere wish towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'll close the program out in the normal manner by sharing with you the Who Am I technique that originally came from Sri Ramana Maharshi. And basically, you put the thought I in the center of your forehead, and you become that spot. And you try to get in the highest place that you know how to get to beforehand, and then put your full attention and full consciousness in the center of your forehead and become that spot. And then you ask the question, who am I? And you can do that a few times or whatever seems comfortable, and then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.